Hare Krishna, I welcome you to the Bhagavad Gita class. Today is Tuesday, 18th December 2012. We first start by chanting the prayers. Please chant with me.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patita Nama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Today we are going to talk about chapter 10. That is the opulence of the Absolute. So Krishna in this chapter reveals many of his qualities. He did it in the earlier chapters also. We saw it in the 7th and the 8th and to some extent in the 9th. He keeps telling who he is to Arjuna. But here he is going to spend some time and tell him in detail, you know, opulence of the Absolute, Aishwarya. So what we'll do is, this chapter has 42 shlokas, 42 verses. So today we'll take 18 of them, okay. And then from there, next week we'll try to finish it. So as is our practice, let's read together and then from there I will try to explain. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. So please read with me. The Supreme Personality of God had said, "Listen again, O mighty Arjuna, because you are my dear friend, for your benefit, I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I have already explained. Neither the hosts of devatas nor the great sages know my origin or opulences. For in every respect, I am the source of the devatas and sages. He who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme lord of all the worlds, he only, undiluted among men, is freed from all sins. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame and infamy, all these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. The seven great sages and before them the four other great sages and the Manus, progenitors of mankind, come from me, born from my mind, and all the living beings populating the various planets descend from them. One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me and with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Arjuna said, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala and Vyasa confirm this truth about you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the devatas nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency. O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe, please tell me in detail of your divine opulences by which you pervade all these worlds. O Krishna, O Supreme Mystic, how shall I constantly think of you and how shall I know you? In what various forms are you to be remembered, O Supreme Personality of Godhead? O Janardana, again, please describe in detail the mystic power of your opulences. I am never satiated in hearing about you, for the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words." So we can see a little transformed Arjuna. You know, he used to ask questions and doubt about Krishna's supremacy in the beginning. And now here he is declaring. So let's go and try to understand it right from the beginning. In the 9th chapter we saw that Krishna told Arjuna about the Raja Vidya, which he called Guhyatam, most secret. And then he told him about how the food and the flowers and the leaves are to be offered to him, how whatever we eat is to be offered to him. Otherwise, you know, we eat only sin, that is declared in the 3rd chapter also. So he told him the real practical aspects in the 9th chapter. Now, Krishna knew that there will be some doubts in the people's mind, although Arjuna is convinced now. But still, people will be asking many questions about, oh, how can we say, how do we understand, how Krishna can, you know, like that. So, Krishna knows it. He is the most intelligent. He is the most everything, including intelligence, of course. So, So here, he starts this chapter by telling him that I am going to tell you something better than what I explained. You know, this is one way of catching the attention of your audience, right? If you tell them that today I am going to tell you something more, you know, all these marketeers, they just use this, right? We know that. They'll tell you. And some of them will not tell you till the end what exactly it is, you know. They just say, oh, this is going to change your life. And blah, blah. And we fall for that, you know. They want us to sign on the dotted line, get our money, and then, you know, leave us alone. Some very few will be helping you. Most of them, they will be just, you know, taking it away, and then if you insist 20 times, then they may return it. Otherwise, they know that there are some people not going to insist. So, same way, people try to tell their own stories, their own realizations, and they try, I mean, you talk something nice, and, you know, people think, oh, wow, this person is talking very nice. Some philosophy stolen from here and there. But if it is not connected to Krishna, then we know what is the result. Okay? So, Krishna starts telling what is better. Because he is now telling about his opulences, his Aishwarya, his Vaibhava. And he declares that nobody knows. All the devatas, the sages, nobody knows his origin or opulences. This is the whole secret of Krishna consciousness, you know, that we love Krishna, without knowing him fully. Because what we know itself is more than enough. What more you want to know? It's more than enough for us, so we accept him and we start doing some devotional service. But the fun is that once you know that, then you want to know more and more, you know. Like the sages in Naimisharanya, they were asking questions. And they said, we are ready to sit here for thousands of years, just listening to the pastimes of Krishna. So Krishna declares that he is the source. He is the source of everybody, right? Sarva karana karanam. And he says, these people know him as unborn, as beginningless, as Supreme Lord. So once we know that, then we are free. Then we are liberated. Once we know Krishna's real position. See again, if you remember, second chapter, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, and many other places he talks about this, that if you know that he is unborn, because if the moment we say he is born as a human being, then we are branded as Mooda by Krishna. Avajananti ma Mooda. Mooda. So, only if we accept him in that supreme position, then only we can progress. And for that, as a help, Krishna has this big list of, you know, I remember when we were covering this particular shloka in Chicago a few years back. So many. So we took one or two in one class, you know, and tried to understand. So when we come to the shloka by shloka, we are going to do that. We'll go in detail about, you know, each one of them. Take samples, examples, how people applied, etc. But this is very interesting, you know. Krishna says, let's see what the shloka says. Buddhir. Buddhir means intelligence. Jnanam, Jnanam. Knowledge. Asammoham. Asammoham meaning moham. Sammoham means getting attracted, getting in illusion. Moham maya, we say, right? Sammoham. Asammoham. Not getting deluded. Kshama, forgiveness. Satyam, truth. Dama, pride. Dama, Shama. Dama, Shama. Shama means very peaceful. Sukham, Dukham, Bhavo, Bhavo. Sukham, Dukham, Bhavo, Bhavo. Bhavo, Abhavo. Means, if there is Sukha or there is a shortage of Sukha, there is a Dukha and there is a shortage of Dukha. In either case, he is Samaha, Shamaha. Okay. Bhayam cha bhayam. Bhayam cha abhayam. Cha bhayam means cha abhayam. Bhayam cha abhayam. Fear and fearlessness. Eva cha. And what else? Ahimsa, non-violence. So that's why we recommend vegetarian food. And that too, first offer to Krishna. And then it becomes prasad and then you can eat it without any hesitation. Samata, equanimity. Tushtis. Tushtis means very, very satisfied. Santosh comes from tushta, you know. Santosh, we say. Tushtis. Tapo. Tapo means doing tapas. Austerity. Tyag. Danam. Charity. Charity of the holy name. Charity of, you know, exchanging, loving exchanges. And if you are having good money, then you can do that also, but for the right cause. Yasho, yashaha. Again, yasho, yashaha means whether he is glorified or yashaha, not glorified. Some people are spreading some bad things about him. Bhavanti bhava bhutanam. If all these qualities are there in a bhutanam, it means in a living entity, then matta eva prathakvida. Matta eva. Me prathakvibha. Variously arranged. So this is that shloka. Okay. So you see so many qualities, and we see that in even the material world, if somebody has these qualities, he is considered as a very nice person, gentleman. These are the qualities of a gentleman. And Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, declares that a devotee is a gentleman. Devotee means gentleman. If you are not a gentleman, then you cannot be a devotee. There cannot be a rogue devotee. The rogue will be a so-called devotee. There is a difference, you know. Let's not think that everybody who is talking about Krishna is a devotee, or who is... We have to see his life, how much surrendered he is, how much he is following what he is preaching, all those things. We saw that in the our requirements of a guru. So Krishna says that this you told to Shapta Rishis and the four other sages and Manu. Manus are our father, you know, that's why we say Manu Samhita. There are... seven Manus in Brahma's 100 years. 14 Manus, sorry, 14 Manus. Each living for 7 years of Brahma. And then this Krishna says, these were all born from my mind. Okay, and then we are all belonging to them. That's why we have this Rishis, right? We have this Gotra. Gotra means we are descendants of one of the Rishis. Nobody in the whole creation is without that. The Westerners don't know. In India, we know. And that also, of course, people now when people come to temple and we ask them, what is your gotra? And he starts looking here and there and he says, what is this gotra business? So gotra means you belong to one of the rishis. And incidentally, this was used earlier. Why they check the gotra? Because the chances of the person in the same gotra is that he or she may have the same blood group. Same blood group, because they belong to the same gotra. Gotra is from the father's side, not from the mother's side. Okay, so that means the person can be cousins or something like that. And in the medical science, they say that the same blood group progenies are not good. I mean, there is no guarantee. It could be problematic. It could be otherwise. So we see either too brilliant or morons, you know, some mental problems. Okay. So the moment Krishna says, who knows about these opulences and mystic power, then what he does? He starts doing bhakti seva. And then he declaring, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything comes from him. Remember? Maya dakshena prakriti. We saw in the previous chapter. So, those who know all these things, they don't waste time. That's the point. They don't waste time in, you know, pursuing some all the time the money and the wealth and the prosperity, so-called prosperity, you know. So he says that the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted. So Krishna is acknowledging that service. It's not that, you know, Krishna is not greatless like we are. We are greatless. We don't thank Krishna for everything that we get. But Krishna is saying that his devotees are like that. His devotees are what? Their lives are fully devoted and they are very happy, they are satisfied. And what happens? They enlighten one another, very important, enlighten one another and converse about him. So this is exactly sadhu sangha, satta sangha, sadhu sangha, association, like what we are doing now. What are we doing? We are just simply discussing what Krishna says. How Krishna is answering Arjuna's questions. So Bhagavad Gita is nothing but that, isn't it? So moment you start discussing, now of course don't start thinking, I don't want to at least, that I am a pure devotee. You know? Because pure devotees talk only of that. Moment I'm getting out of here, you know, I'm going to go and distribute prasadam. Of course it is again connected to Krishna, but still I think of so many other things, you know, management and so on and so forth. So he says, if you are devoted to him, then Krishna gives the understanding. This is the beauty. See this, the bird which is eating the fruit, it turns towards the bird which is watching him. Then he starts giving him the understanding. So first you have to have devotion. First you have to have some devotional service. And then you can expect something. Actually, devotees don't even expect because they know that it will come of its own accord. Okay. So he says, Krishna says, he's saying, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with shining lamp. Destroy what? Ignorance. Tamaha. Tamaha goes. Let's see. The word ignorance is tamaha. Let's see what it says here. Tesham evanu kampartham aham agyana jam tamaha. See? Agyana and tamaha. Both are there. Tamaha means dark and agyana means ignorance. Now, when Krishna said all this, Arjuna declared, you know, this is the verse where Arjuna acknowledges Krishna as the Supreme. First he said, you are a guru and all that, but he did not still accept. But now, this is one of the important verses. This is where people sometimes say Arjuna was his relative and all that. So Arjuna is declaring first and then saying that it's not only me. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala, he gives 3-4 names, great personalities of that time. So he says, and then he says, you yourself are declaring it to me, so I accept it. Parama Brahma, you are Parama Brahma, Supreme Personality. Parama Dhamma, Supreme Dhamma, your place is like, you know, the holiest of the holy places. Pavitram, purest. Paramamam. Pavitram paramavam. Pavitram itself is pure. Paramamam is the most pure. Bhavan. Purusham. You are a Purusha. So people say God is some Shakti and, you know, energy and cosmic energy and so on. Here Krishna is saying, and Arjuna is saying, you are Purusham. Purusha means a person. Shashvatam, you are eternal. Divyam, transcendental. Adi Devam, see? Adi Devam, you are much before the Devatas you came. Adi means the oldest. Ajam, not born. Vibhum, great. So he says, Ahustvam Rashyaya Sarve Devarshir Naradas Tatha Asito Devalo Vyasa Swayam Chaiva Bravishime. Swayam Chaiva. You are also declaring it. So now I am, he says, you are the one, you are the absolute truth. Param Satyam, Shashvatam, Pavitram, Param Dham. See? So this is how we have to do things, you know. Based on the scriptures, based on what the great personality says, and based on what your guru says, you accept it. And that becomes, then your life becomes very, very easy. Okay? So this is what Arjuna declares. And then he says, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Totally. So no more doubts now. From here onwards, all the chapters are where Krishna is going to give enlighten Arjuna more and more. His doubts are gone. Now Arjuna is not going to ask some so-called stupid questions. They are never stupid anyway. You alone know yourself by your own internal potency. So is he also accepting that nobody knows? Okay. O God of gods, O Lord of the universe, please tell me in detail of your divine opulence. Now he is eager to know what is this, what are the opulences, what are the vaibhavs of Krishna, okay, with which he is running this whole business of the whole cosmos. Okay. So he says, now he says, please tell me how I can remember you always. Okay. In what various forms are you to be remembered? Because these people, see, when we say Krishna, next question should come, in what form of Krishna we should worship him? So these all questions Arjuna wants to know. And he says, I am never, see, like the sages of Naimisharanyak, Arjuna is also saying, I am never satisfied in hearing about you. For more I hear, the more I want. That is the beauty. That is why we recommend, you know, because the more you hear, the more you want. Provided you get the rare taste of that, you know. Otherwise, there is a saying in Hindi, Bandar kya jane adrak ka swad. You know. A monkey, you give, you know, nice recipe and then you give it ginger, adrak is ginger. He won't know what's going on, you know. So you ask him, or you ask a donkey, okay, some musical, you put him Beethoven or a nice Tansen or Bhimsen, whatever. And then you ask him what answer he will give. So same way, when people don't understand, we should not think that, we should have compassion for them that they are not understanding, because they are not understanding, you know, they don't have the capacity to understand. So that is why, if you remember, the guru has to go to the level of the shishya to make him understand. So you become, at that time when you are talking about Krishna, you become a guru, and then you talk to everybody, as you know, to explain properly. Okay, so we'll stop here. If there are any questions, comments, we can take them up. Thank you. Hare Krishna.